games use breeding as a mechanism to draw down a certain in-game currency, right? For example, in XE, breeding is used to be able to exhaust SLP. So we are also making plans for that in terms of how different Komos can interact and breed with each other so that, you know, it could come out with like even rarer Komos. That is also one way that we want to make sure that there is scarcity in Komos, right? One idea that we recently spoke with one of our partners is that in the first series of Komos, maybe they grant you 100 games. After 100 games, they wouldn't be able to give you any power-ups, but those can be used for breeding and give you next generation of Komos. So that's one thing that we're also learning a lot from the XE model, right? XE right now, both SLP and XEs, they are uncapped. So it's reaching this situation of hyperinflation. So we're really referencing them and a lot of other P2E games, right? Like Pegasi is something that we looked at. Zrun is something that we look at. In terms of how do we really design something that makes economical sense? So I think you hear us like working really hard on this for the last few weeks, even few months, because this is something that once we get it wrong at the start, it's really hard to turn back time. So I hope everyone understands where we're coming from and make sure that once we really build out something and it goes live, there is a lot more long-term value that could be accrued here. So I'm just going to keep going down on the questions. I see a lot of people typing messages. So let me just use my phone to look at what are some of the stuff that is happening. Mature Komo going for breeding. We need trading channel right now. Retired Komo. Trading my GF for Komo egg, any takers? I love it. I talk too much. What? Am I talking too much? Pack information. Wife can't produce Komos. Oh, we chat too much, not you. Ah, okay, okay. Glad to hear that. I thought I was going to have to reduce how much information I'm sharing already. Okay, keep going. Mean price, I think I mentioned earlier. Target mean that mentioned earlier. What's the supply of Komo? Oh, I replied these questions as we kept going. I think there was a few repeat questions. Rarity. Keep going down. Renting of Komos, we touched on that. Breeding. Just keep going. How do we rent? How do you rent the Komo? Does it mean the rental period? Ah, ownership. This is a great question. So, one thing that we've seen is that in the existing renting model, a lot of the power resides in the managers and not in the scholars. So, sometimes the scholars are really at the mercy of them, right? Where, let's say for example, in XE, they just change the password or they change some of the login details and the scholars kind of are stranded. So one thing that the smart contract engineering team is building is a custodial service. So for example, if I were to rent my Komo to Henry, for example, I will have full ownership of it. But when I choose to list it on the marketplace, I can choose the rental duration. Is it 1 day, 3 day, 7 day? I can choose the rent price. Do I want to make sure that it's like super accessible so I put it at 0xGem? Or do I have a bit of a barrier so that I can remove bots or make sure that only good players choose my Komos? Then I may be listed at like 500x gems. They can also customize what's the rev share. So really what we have narrowed down is these three variables. Rent duration, rent price, and also rev share. So the manager will list all of these durations and they put it on the market. Scholars will comb through the marketplace and look for suitable Komos. So if they see one that they like the rental duration, they think the rent price makes sense and the rev share makes sense, they can actually request to loan the Komo. What we're actually doing is we're actually grant temporary ownership of the Komos to the scholar. But the Komo still resides in the owner's wallet. So it just grants the scholar temporary access to use it. They can equip the Komo and go play different games. Can play our special access supersized tournament, or in the future they can equip it to go and enter into PvP. And once the rental duration date is up, it will go back into the wallet. It wouldn't even go back, it's always in the wallet, but it will pause the temporary ownership, transfer of ownership. And it's up to the manager to say, hey, do I want to continue this relationship or I want to find another pair? So that's something that we're trying to build on site on the marketplace and not have this kind of conversations or discussions happen outside. One thing that our engineering team is building on is also something we call global chat. Right now, I know a lot of discussions are happening on Discord. We're also planning how can we slowly bring some of this chat element on the site. Could be chat specific of like certain games. We are also looking into how we can bring in the social element. Right now in tournament mode, it's really trying to see who can get on the top 500, right? Or if you're on the normal tournament mode, how do you get on the top 50? We want to use this mechanism of being able to solve the long tail of users. So that could mean 1v1 games. And we do it by skill matching. So let's say I'm a lousy gamer, I get matched with someone of my standard. If I'm a really good gamer, I get matched with someone of my standard. So that's 1v1 skill matching. We are also in the midst of planning out how does 1v-many social group games look like. So let's say I can invite 3 of my friends, all of us are in the same group, and we challenge each other. Or I can go out to the main explore page and look for other gamers who might be hosting a room, and I could go in there and challenge them. And some of the games can be free to play, it's just purely for fun. Some of it can be a small amount of your gems. So you can actually compete with each other, and you can set winner takes all, or like winner takes a small sum or proportionate sum. So really, how do we continue making games competitive? And you've seen from the start how we have been doing this. We started out with 10 plus casual games, and we've just added many different layers to it, right? The one that recently we see a lot of people enjoy is artifacts. How you start collecting ores, forging them, and the lead up to Tesseract. That's one way where you caught the first layer of games. Then we have your daily claims, streak, you have your Wheel of Fortune, you have your quests. So we are really layering on top different meta level of games that breathes new life into our existing games, while at the same time we are co-building games with game studios and also listing new games on the platform. So you can see we're really focusing a lot on gameplay and stickiness, because at the end of the day we are building a game ecosystem. Even if there are no incentives, people should feel really, really engaged in the games itself, right? How many of us play Fortnite, we play LOL? There is really no prize money at the end, unless you're a pro gamer. But a lot of it is really just because of the social aspect to it and the fun. So that's what we're really after. How can you create economical sense in terms of sustainable payouts, but ultimately making sure that it's fun for users? So yes, this started because I saw one of the questions about temporary ownership. So that's definitely something that we're building out with the engineering team. And how do we make Homo NFTs really liquid and tradable on the platform? So if someone wants to buy, you know, NFTs to be 10 Homo NFTs to begin with, you can equip one for yourself to play, and you could rent out the other 9 for scholars to come and find. And we're also working with a couple of guilds. For example, you've seen us post about Play It Forward DAO. They're one of our partners. So we've also been speaking with them into how we can get their scholars involved. We spoke with a couple of other guilds as well, PathDAO, GuildFi, in terms of how they can get their scholars on board. And something that struck me was that some of their investors were sharing that there are a lot of scholars and a lot of gamers who are hungry for games, but there are not enough games in the market. So that's something that we're focusing on. And I think it really goes back to the roots, right? A lot of other crypto projects, they do an NFT sale or they do an IDO sale. And the real product only comes 9 months, 12 months later, or even they don't even come, right? I think the most common right now is, not to be putting down anyone, but Star Atlas has been getting a lot of heat in terms of when their games are actually coming out. So as you can see from day one, we really started with just building game ecosystem first.